Hi, everybody. Welcome to the E-Town Podcast. This week, we've kind of going all around the world. So we've got a couple of strong artists, Jessica Lee Mayfield and Birds of Chicago from here in America. We've got an award that deals with AIDS orphans in Africa. We've got a killer finale and some nice variety, beautiful singing and playing. And that's all coming to you right now.
Live from E-Town Hall in the foothills of the Rocky Mountains, it's E-Town with this week's guests, signature recording artist Birds of Chicago, Achievement Award winner Jackson Kaguri, and from Nashville, ATO recording artist Jessica Lee Mayfield. I'm Helen Forster. Join me in welcoming our host, Nick Forster.
Thank you, Helen. Thanks, everybody. Welcome to E-Town Hall. We meet again. So the idea of a family band is probably unfamiliar to most of you, I suspect. But in bluegrass, it's pretty common. Started out with the Carter family, part of the big bang of country music, the Bristol Sessions that took place in 1927. They sold millions of records, they popularized a ton of songs, and they became big stars. And they were a family, and people kind of paid attention to the fact that they were related to each other. And then, of course, there's all the brother acts, the Blue Sky Boys, the Monroe Brothers, the Stanley Brothers, Osborne Brothers, Jim and Jesse, the McLean family, the Lewis family. There's a bunch of family, sort of traveling family musician scenes in the bluegrass world. And I mention that because both of our guests this week have a connection to that world from opposite directions. One grew up in a family bluegrass band that traveled around. She was homeschooled, traveled around in an old bus and went to a bunch of festivals and gigs. And then the other is just now starting to be the traveling family scene, being on the road, playing 200 dates a year with their four-year-old in tow some of that time. So we'll visit that theme a little later on. But our first guest, as I mentioned, grew up on the road, but did live in Ohio. She started singing with her parents and brothers when she was about eight, traveling around on an old tour bus, a flexible flyer that had previously belonged to both Kitty Wells and Bill Monroe. And they wore it out before her family got it. So she started recording when she was a teenager, around 16, with Dan Auerbach from the Black Keys, fellow Ohioan. And then she kept at it. She kept writing, collaborating with Seth Avett, one of the Avett brothers. She just released her fourth solo record. It's called Sorry Is Gone. She's now living outside of Nashville, and she's here for her first visit. So she's a thoughtful writer. Please welcome to E-Town for the first time, Jessica Lee Mayfield.
I believed you. Thank you.
Jessica Lee Mayfield, welcome to E-Town. Good to have you here after your long odyssey, musical odyssey that you've been on since you were 8 years old.
Yes, well, it's good to be here.
I can kind of relate to some of that driving around in an old 50s bus and playing bluegrass festivals, having done a bunch of that myself.
Yeah.
Your parents are still out there touring and playing. This was not a weekend hobby for them. This was their deal. This was their job, right?
No, I mean, this is what I grew up doing with them was just, I mean, it was to the point to where it'd be, okay, you and your brother go take that corner and your dad and I'll take this corner and we'll come back and see how much money we have and that'll tell us what we can go get to eat.
Wow.
We'd play for tips and we'd play 4 shows 7 days a week and we had different residencies all over town and, you know, it's just this little...
It sounds a little...
Chubby baby covered in glitter.
That was you.
Singing Loretta Lynn songs.
I bet you made more tips than your parents, probably.
Yeah, probably. I think I was cuter, maybe. Had that going.
It sounds a tiny bit bleak. Was it kind of bleak or was it kind of okay?
Well, I didn't know any differently growing up. That was the world was to me.
Did you wonder about like other kids who were in school and all that stuff?
Yeah, school was something that I kind of still wonder about, but sounds weird.
Well, I mean, you know, survival is what it is for a lot of people. You know, you got to do what it takes to survive. And
Right. Your
parents had a plan and they worked the plan and here we are and here they are still.
And while we're talking about my parents, I waited to tell you this now to embarrass you instead of when we were back there earlier. But I was on the phone with my mom just a bit ago and she wanted me to tell you that Hot Rise tapes were playing in the birthing room when I was born.
Oh.
So that's what's wrong with me. No, I'm just kidding.
So indirectly, we've known each other a long time.
Right.
Yeah.
In utero. Yeah.
Oh, man. Well, we've at least established that I'm substantially older than you are, which most people know.
Yesterday. They played me the tapes yesterday.
Let me... No, that's a great honor, and thanks for sharing that. That's cool. No, I mean, it's like I was saying before, the bluegrass community was pretty tight, and we were all out there just rolling around doing our best. Let me ask you, when you were busking, and you and your brother on one corner and your parents on another, or when you're doing 4 shows a day, and you're 8 or 10 or 12 or whatever, were there any songs you just couldn't stand to sing that you're doing? Rocky Top, yeah. We refused as a band to play that song, by the way.
Even now, it's like, and sometimes I'll, like, somebody will say something about Rocky Top, and I'll start playing it, and I'm like, why am I doing this? Yeah. I hate this. And I'm like, and that F chord, dang but you.
But you found other, you eventually found other music you liked, songwriters and other styles of music.
Yeah.
In case you just tuned in, you're listening to E-Town, I'm here with Jessica Lee Mayfield. There is a thread that flows through this new record, and it seems to me you're sort of coming to terms with things that have happened in your past and acknowledging that not everything is rosy all the time in a way that resonates for a lot of people, it seems like.
Yeah, definitely. I think that it's important to talk about these things that people like to keep in the dark, and I it's not like I sat down and said to myself, oh, I'm going to write an album of songs about domestic violence. It was one of these things where I wrote all these songs and I went, oh, that's what all these songs are about. And that's what's happening.
Right.
And now I realize that this is important and something that I need to do. And then after I spoke, a lot of fans reached out to me and they were saying they were in a similar position.
Sure.
So it's
no, it helps.
I mean,
you're being very candid, and you're also, I know you posted a picture of yourself in the hospital after getting some surgery for a shoulder injury?
Broken shoulder.
Broken shoulder, result of some domestic violence.
And yes.
These are issues that are easily hidden or brushed under the rug or just not talked about, and you're choosing to talk about them.
Of course. Well, it's easier not to talk about it. You know, it's hard, right. But it's the things that are hard to do are the things that are worth doing, and it's worth it to shine a light on issues that have been in the dark for too long.
Yeah. And of course, it's the theme these days, people finding their voice in ways that they hadn't before. So it's appropriate, it's timely, it's good.
Thank you very much.
Well, listen, congratulations on finding a way to express yourself and surround yourself with good musicians and find some mentors and some partners and continue the journey.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, glad you stopped by. Welcome back, if you would, Jessica Lee Mayfield. That's Jessica Lee Mayfield, along with Jordan Hyde. The record is called Sorry Is Gone, out on ATO Records from Nashville, Tennessee. They'll be back, play some more music a little later on in the show.
Your visit to E-Town is made possible in part by the Bohemian Foundation, building stronger communities through the Bohemian qualities of creativity and imagination. On the web at bohemianfoundation.org. By Silk, the charter sponsor of Change the Course. The program was co-created with National Geographic to restore water in critically water-stressed ecosystems. You can learn more about Silk's commitment to the environment and to plant-based nutrition at silksoymilk.com. And by our diverse family of NPR affiliates, community stations, college and commercial stations, as well as our international stations and podcast subscribers worldwide. You're listening to E-Town. Thank you.
I'm Nick Forster. You're listening to E-Town. Jessica Lee Mayfield is going to be back later on in the show. And coming up, the great duo Birds of Chicago are here, and they're going to play some music too. Before we get back to music, as you know, every week we get a chance to introduce you all to someone we got to know with the help of our listeners. People send us stories of folks who've inspired them, and these are almost always stories of people who look around and see an opportunity to make things better, and they take that one first step, and things add up. And so we get to celebrate that and recognize those folks through something called the Achievement Award, as you well know. And here comes Helen to tell you about this week's winner.
Thank you, Nick. We have a remarkable story this week. Listener Sue Lathrop has nominated Jackson Kaguri for the Achievement Award this week. Now, Jackson grew up in rural Uganda, an area he describes as the quote-unquote poorest of the poor. Now, there are no free public schools there like there are here in the States. The way the system works in Uganda, you pay to attend elementary school and high school, and the government chooses one student each year to send to college on their nickel. Well, Jackson's parents worked hard and saved to put him through the lower school grades. And he did so well that he was chosen to attend college in Uganda. From there, he earned a scholarship to Columbia University in New York City, where he received a master's in human rights. Well, right after graduation, Jackson was told to hurry home because his brother was ill with HIV/AIDS. He actually died in Jackson's arms. 9 months later, his sister also died of the same thing, both leaving orphans for Jackson to raise. Now, knowing there were many other countless people who had also left children behind, Jackson knew he needed to help. So he began a multi-leveled effort to provide free schooling and much more for these kids as well. Now here to tell us more is our Achievement Award winner of the week, Jackson Kaguri of Uganda.
Jackson, welcome. Thank you for being here.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
And what an amazing story Helen just shared with us. So tell us about your childhood. Tell us about the early days.
I don't think you have enough time for my early days. But I grew up in a tiny village in Uganda, like Helen described it. Very poor, so much that I don't think anyone in the audience, except my brother-in-law, would know how poor these circumstances are. Mm-hmm.
And they had enough money, though, to send you to school.
That is also a story in itself. We raised chickens and goats and animals. Yeah. So the more chickens you had healthy, the chances you had to go to school.
Wild.
So they had to sell something for me to go to school.
So you went to elementary school, and then you were chosen to go to college. And then from there, you won a scholarship, Columbia University. You move from rural Uganda to New York City,
yes, sir.
Upper West Side. That sounds like a smooth transition.
I like it.
Yeah.
Yes, I worked so hard as a kid. I walked 7.5 miles to go to school. My parents would buy one pencil for 5 children and cut it 5 times. Wow. I knew if I work hard and pass at 1% of the nation, I would get a scholarship.
Wild.
And that's what I did and got a scholarship.
Amazing.
The Columbia University scholarship was because of my urge to fight injustice on women and children. And Columbia chose me.
Wow.
Out of East Africa.
Wild. Amazing. But I'm sure that after you had done all that work and you'd achieved so much and you were chosen and you've graduated from Columbia, you had an idea of how your life would go, and then all of a sudden it changed because of your family and because of AIDS.
Yes, sir. I wanted to live in New York and buy a red car, convertible, and work at United Nations.
Yeah.
But as I was finishing, my brother was sick of HIV/AIDS, and I went back to Uganda. 2 weeks later, he died in my hands. And that changed the trajectory of where I was going to go.
Yeah. And Helen mentioned that same thing happened with your sister, and that suddenly there's their children who have become orphaned.
Yes, sir.
It sounds like that must be a very common situation.
Very common. Death is common on the continent of Africa. It has always been there. But the number of orphans, because of HIV/AIDS, there were many parents dying, leaving 2 million children orphaned because they don't have mom and dad.
So is it aunts and uncles who step in and take care of these kids who are left alone, or what happens?
Yes, when the numbers were small, aunts and uncles would step in. Grandmothers and grandparents would step in. It was manageable. But because of HIV/AIDS, a parent suffers for about 3 years before they die. By the time somebody dies, every resource in the family has been used. Mm. So the number increased faster, the economics of it was too hard, and it was overwhelming for the whole continent.
Wow. And so grandparents are sort of coming into this picture in some cases without having planned for that either.
Yes, you can imagine, Nick, my parents, they hoped that once I finish school, I'll come back and care for them. And now they have lost a son, they have lost a daughter, and these children have left them more children to educate,
oh, well,
to invest in when there's nothing left in the family. Hmm. My parents had invested in me. The only thing I knew to give was to help another child get an education.
Mm-hmm.
So I started a school. That's what I knew to give.
Right.
That's what I gave.
Wow.
So I went to my friends, one by one, $1.8 million now, 50,000 children, 7,000 women who are raising them are working today because I didn't shy away from asking.
Wow. I'm sort of stunned by those numbers. What about support systems for the grandparents or the families that are having this added responsibility?
I knew I could not just build a school and say to kids, go to school now. I made it free. I made sure they have pencils, they have uniforms. I pay for their uniforms. And then I came up with a human rights-based approach where they get clean water. I built a clinic so they have health care. I approached women in the community to house them so they can have where to sleep and have love and care. The approach we have used is holistic in nature. The girl gets sanitary products, the child gets uniform, they get 2 meals a day through our farm. It's all natural, by the way.
Hmm.
No preservatives added. And then we go to these women and economically empower them to sustain themselves through a microfinance program.
Microfinance.
Yes,
so small loans to help start businesses.
Yes, sir.
Amazing. And there's other challenges in that area too.
Yes, sir.
Just across the borders and with ethnic conflicts and dangers that are still there, right?
Yes, sir.
So the name of the organization that you started is what?
The Nyaka AIDS Orphans Project.
Nyaka AIDS Orphans Project.
Yes,
and is there a website where people can see what you're up to?
Yes, sir. nyakaschool.org. nyakaschool.org.
N-Y-A-K-A. nyakaschool.org. And they can see pictures. They can see what you're doing. There's a way to donate online if they want to. And they can support the efforts that you're undertaking.
They can adopt a child right now.
Yeah.
There's so much work to be done in the world. Ours is a little drop in the bucket, but it makes a difference every day in somebody's life.
All of us here are going to go to your website, and we're going to help out, I can tell.
Thank you, thank you.
Thank you for sharing your story with us. The founder and driving force behind the nonprofit called the Nyaka AIDS Orphans Project, Jackson Kaguri.
Wow. It's stories like these that make you realize how much we all have in this country. Now, if you've just tuned in and you missed part of this interview, you can find it on our website, etown.org. And you can find Jackson's contact information there, too, if you missed that and want to give a donation, large or small, makes a big difference. And we also have information about other Achievement Award winners there, too, that might interest you. If you so desire, you can nominate someone for the award on our website as well. If you're not into the internet, you can always write to us the old-fashioned way at Box 954, Boulder, Colorado, 80306.
Thank you, Helen. Thank you, Jackson. Amazing story. We've got more music coming up from Jessica Lee Mayfield in a little while. Right now, I want to tell you about our next guest. One of the first acts to perform on this stage when we first opened up E-Town Hall was this charming couple. We just had a great time with them, and we've crossed paths a few times since then, but we're glad that they're back. They have since married. They've also moved to Nashville and are raising their daughter sometimes on the road. They have two new projects. One is going to be out soon called Love in Wartime, co-produced with Luther Dickinson, whom we know from the North Mississippi All-Stars. And another just released called American Flowers. It's beautiful, kind of a hymn for our tricky and divided times. Really great musicians, humans, singers. Happy to have them back. Welcome back to E-Town, if you would. Birds of Chicago.
Lucky to have him playing with us. do a song that I wrote for a buddy of mine when we were 9 or 10. And as we all get older, I think it's amazing, right, that you find out who the people are from your past that continue to inform your life and the way you walk through the world. And he was a gem. His name was Nativedon Scott. This is called Hold Steady, Rock Slow. When I'm wild with fear, anger, and pain, your voice, it comes to me. Hold, hold steady, rock slow. Through the winter's year, through the summers, I've lost friends, I've lost teachers, lovers, they're gone, 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 but you won't go. What a day,
what a day,
what a time,
what a time,
what a long, cold night. You gotta hold, hold steady, rock slow. Five's, and the only Coca-Cola boys is a Mexican Coke. They came down, they were bigger than we were, you know. Somebody's cousin was waving a pistol. Well, you stepped up, hit him in his mouth. You said, go and put that toy back in its cereal box. You had a mother on the street, father inside. Uncle was a veteran, yeah. Something wasn't right with him. I caught him looking at me from across the room, and it shivered my spine. Hey, but you had a strength, you had a compass. You weren't scared of nobody, yeah. You took all comers, and the kids that were weaker than you, well, you treated them kind. What a day,
what a day,
what a time.
What
a long, cold night. You gotta hold, hold steady, rock slow. I'ma tell,
I'ma tell
no lies. Hey, I'm a 45 king, he only plays 45s. And the only Coca-Cola boys is a Mexican Coke. Lost your mind, but it was more like something ate it out from the inside. And you walked through the streets like a ghost with hollowed out eyes. Kids see you coming, they cross the street. Mothers all told them not to speak to you. And you didn't recognize your own friends, yeah, when some of them tried. Yeah, but when you were 11 and I was 10, you know I learned everything that I need to know then from you. To this day, man, I'm still trying to be like you in my mind. What a day,
what a day,
what a time,
what a time,
what a long, cold night. You gotta hold, hold steady, rock slow. Here come the streetlights on, and we're going home. Here
Here come the street lights on, and we're going home. Here come the street lights on, and we're going home. Here come the street lights on, and we're going home. Here come the street lights on, and we're going home. Here come the street lights on, and we're going home.
T.T. Nero, the E-Tones, Nick and Helen Foster.
Welcome, welcome, welcome back. Birds of Chicago, now living in Nashville. So the last time we saw each other, I think it was 105 degrees and smoky in some California forest. That's right, Strawberry Fest. But you guys put on a great show, and you sounded really good. And I want to congratulate you on all front. New records, touring, happy family on the road. Is your daughter four now? How old is she?
She just turned four.
4 years old.
Yeah, end of December, she turned four.
So what are you going to do? Are you going to do the homeschool thing, or are you going to take her with you and or keep her at home more? Yeah. Or you have?
I think a combination. Now, she's in a little three-day-a-week program at a wonderful school in Nashville. She loves it. There's a lot of other musicians' kids there, and they're very flexible about musician families kind of coming and going with the tours.
It does seem like a natural place for you guys. It's certainly logistically smart to be there because touring from there is pretty central. Yeah. Congratulations also just on American Flowers. Maybe tell me a little bit about the genesis of that song that became the title song to this new record.
Yeah, we finished a tour on the West Coast, and I quite selflessly offered to drive the van by myself back, and everybody else got on planes. And actually, it's not selfless at all, because if you're a new parent, you know that.
Yeah, like, this is what you're going to experience.
Time to yourself is the most golden.
We saw through that act of altruism pretty quickly, actually, JT.
So I was driving, and I drove through the plains, and the plains certainly put me in a Woody Guthrie frame of mind, and Woody had been on my mind in general. We had just had a chance just before that to play the Woody Guthrie Celebration in Tulsa, and it happened to be Jimmy LaFave's, one of his very last performances before passing. It was one of the more transcendent, emotional things I've ever witnessed. Just him, like, kind of native son coming home and being embraced before he passed. And, you know, I was just thinking about the way it's handed down and how important it is. And that song just kind of tumbled out. And, you know, mainly we are blessed in our job to see something that it's very easy to lose sight of. And, you know, that's that basic fact that I think most people in this country, no matter what their deal is, are good people. So it's just a song for all the good souls, and some are lost and some are broken and some are angry, but they're good. And I, you know, it was, sometimes you write a song because you need to kind of rescue yourself. Those are the ones that end up connecting with the most people.
Yeah. I'm just inspired by the fact that, you know, we have a choice, because we inform ourselves in whatever ways we do. And a lot of times that information, when we're armed with information, it can sort of support whatever our position is that can help us, despite our best intention of becoming more isolated or more polarized.
100%.
And in music, of course, we see that all the time, but people don't. You know, when you're sitting next to somebody at a festival, you don't know their politics or their economic status, but you're sharing an experience, and it's profound and it's beautiful.
Yeah.
So you have the advantage of pulling people together from all different kinds of backgrounds. Not to be completely, sort of on this downer theme, but I think it's appropriate to mention when I was talking with Jessica Lee Mayfield about her acknowledging as a songwriter that there's a theme through her latest record that has to do with acknowledging domestic abuse. And that's not something that's completely foreign to you either.
No, not at all. I'm slightly different circumstance, where it was my childhood home. My adopted father was the abuser. And it took a long time to realize that if I did not speak out, then I was complicit in his next victim suffering, you know? And it took a long time to figure that out. I left home at 15, and it wasn't until 5 years later that I charged my adopted father, and it was because of a phone call I got from my mom saying, you know, he was alone with my niece, and I just, if I don't do this, then this continues.
Yeah.
And it's 1 in 4 women, you know, in North America. It's 1 in 6 men. It's a serious problem, you know, so.
So is it something that that you carry with you still, or do you feel you've kind of resolved it and come to peace, or is it something that shows up in your songwriting, or?
I don't think you ever, you don't not carry it with you. You are forever changed, but you know, there's life beyond the abuse, and there's hope, and there's love, and there's self-rescue every day kind of thing. But no, it never goes away.
If I can, I think just people that, just, you don't necessarily have to write about the experience Allie has, but just the very act of being out in the world doing what she does in a joyful way, like, it doesn't get much more empowered than that. So to come through to the other side and then still find your joy, I mean, come on.
Okay.
Thanks, baby.
Well, this is an old church, and it feels a little like we're going to church here this today. But we're going to let the music speak for carry the message. And meanwhile, thank you again
for
coming.
Thank you so much.
Congratulations on all your success. And let's play some more music.
All right.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Welcome back, if you would, Birds of Chicago.
And the E-Tones.
American flowers all across this land, from the banks of the Shenandoah along the Rio Grande. Do not fear the winter blowing in the hearts of men. I have seen American flowers, they will bloom again. On the south side of Chicago, man who's not yet grown went out for a ride, but the car was not his own. Well, he did not see the stop sign or the boy on his skateboard, and now he's lying broken on the ground. Nobody around. He could have drove away, but he pulled on over to the curb and he ran out where he lay. Used his hoodie for a pillow. So little man, you're gonna be okay. And he waited for the ambulance to come. I have seen American flowers all across this land, from the banks of the Shenandoah along the Rio Grande. Do not fear the winter blowing in the hearts of men. I have seen American flowers, they will bloom again. Tender was the night down in the Tenderloin, in an alley off O'Farrell Street, in the neon glow, where she finally caught that dragon a mile from Chinatown. She took her wings and eased her body down. She gave a little shudder, but no pain, she felt no pain. And she knew that she was back on home in Morgantown again. She could smell the lady's slippers and the wild thimbleweeds. Mama, I was just mad, I never meant to leave. I have seen American flowers all across this land, from the banks of the Shenandoah along the Rio Grande. Do not fear the winter blowing in the hearts of men. I've seen American flowers, they will bloom again. Laying rough in Texas, it's the job for someone younger, and so is catching fastballs from your grandson in the summer. But there you are saying, come on, kid, let me feel that hummer with your back and hips and knees on fire. And he said, come on, grandpa, when you gonna let me throw a curve? And you're looking back at him in the sun and you feel your heart is bursting. Let me keep him from himself and those that mean to hurt him.
If that be your will, oh Lord, I've seen American flowers all across this land, from the banks of the Shenandoah along the Rio Grande. Do not fear the winter blowing in the hearts of men. I've seen American flowers, they will bloom again. Ohio, in the amber waves of grain, in the assemblies of crows, there rose the two twin spires beside a golden dome, the Islamic mosque of Greater Toledo. I was flying down the highway when it caught my eye. I was sipping red cream soda, I was listening to Johnny Prime. I saw that golden dome against a pink and purple sky. I was singing, don't let your baby down. I have seen American flowers all across this land, from the banks of the Shenandoah along the Rio Grande. Do not fear the winter blowing in the hearts of men. I see American flowers, they will bloom again.
Birds of Chicago, JT Nero, Allie Russell, with a little help from the E-Tones, Chris Engelman, Ron Jolly, Christian Thiel, and Helen Forster. The record is called American Flowers, out on Signature Records.
This portion of E-Town is made possible by Zayo Group, providing communication infrastructure services to the world's leading businesses with its fiber network that powers the voice, data, and video traffic we depend on every day. You can learn more at zayo.com. That's Zayo.com. And by the way, if you missed some of this week's show, or you'd like to hear it again, the podcast of this episode and other past E-Town shows are available for free in iTunes, Google Play, and other podcast directories. Each show is listed under the names of our visiting artists. You're listening to E-Town.
I'm Nick Forster. I'd like to say hello to our listeners who hear E-Town on stations like KJAC, the Colorado Sound in Fort Collins, and actually all across the state in Colorado, on WCNR, The Corner in Charlottesville, Virginia, and on KKRN, Community Radio, Round Mountain, California. Thanks for tuning in. Music, of course, brings us together, a great unifying force in the world. We're always happy to bring in some different flavors and styles, and we're also committed to sharing stories like Jackson's. He's doing great work on behalf of his fellow Ugandans, and we're really happy that we got to learn about that. And families are complicated, as are relationships. We're lucky to have writers who take the time to chronicle and infuse their songs with those stories along the way. Right now, would you help me welcome back to the stage Jessica Lee Mayfield.
This next song was written by Patrick Damphier, and it is a song about washing your hands. It's a good old hand washing number.
Jessica Lee Mayfield from Nashville, Tennessee. Along with Jordan Hyde, some help from the E-Tones, Chris and Ron and Christian and Helen. We've got time for one more song. We're going to get everybody out for this last song. There's so many themes swirling around, but one of them had to do with just being on the road and singing gospel songs when Jessica Lee was a kid. Of course, she was in the bus that used to belong to Bill Monroe, so this was a song that he did often. She's a fan of Hank Williams, as are the Birds of Chicago. And then we like the idea of just singing and enlightenment. So that's what led us to this next song. I want to thank all our guests once again. Jessica Lee Mayfield, thanks for coming out. Thanks to the Birds of Chicago. Thanks to Jackson Kaguri, amazing story from Uganda. Thanks to all the E-Tones and Helen and our crew and volunteers. I'm Nick Forster. Hope you can be with us next week right here in E-Town.
Recorded at E-Town Hall and produced by our donor-supported nonprofit organization. To comment about the show, email us at info@etown.org or connect with us on Twitter or on Facebook. Distribution is made possible by our family of sponsors, this station, and listeners like you.
Well, I was a fool to wander and stray. Well, straight is the gate. Birds of Chicago, Helen, E-Tones. All of you guys. We'll see you next time.
This is a production of the E-Town Radio Network.
Okay, you've done it. You've listened to another E-Town podcast. Thank you. Hope you enjoyed our show this week, and also hope you can tune in next time. I'm Nick Forster. We'll get together soon, I'm sure.